For George H.W. Bush's Secretary of State, James A. Baker III, the Cold War ended on 3 August 1990. That day, at Moscow's Vnukovo International Airport, Baker and the Soviet Foreign Minister, Edward Shevardnadze, stood side by side and jointly condemned Saddam Hussein's massive and ongoing invasion of Kuwait, a small, wealthy, but largely undefended country southeast of Iraq on the Persian Gulf that produced about 10% of Middle Eastern oil. Iraq, the Soviet Union's most important client in the region, was heavily armed with Soviet tanks, missiles, and artillery. Shevardnadze's willingness to condemn Iraqi aggression signaled to Baker the beginning of a real partnership between the United States and the USSR. During the long Iran-Iraq war that had ended in 1988, 2 years before Iraq invaded Kuwait, Saddam Hussein had been the enemy of America's enemy, Iran, and thus, if not a friend, at least something of a surrogate. The United States had remained neutral during the first 2 years of the war, but when an Iranian offensive in spring 1982 succeeded in breaking through the Iraqi line and forcing the Iraqis to retreat, the Reagan administration had begun to favor Iraq. An affidavit sworn by a National Security Council, NSC, staff member, Howard Teicher, who helped develop the new policies, describes the result. In June 1982, President Reagan decided that the United States would do whatever was necessary and legal to prevent Iraq from losing the war with Iran. President Reagan formalized this policy by issuing a National Security Decision Directive, NSDD, to this effect in June 1982. CIA Director William Casey personally spearheaded this effort to ensure that Iraq had sufficient military weapons, ammunition, and vehicles to avoid losing the Iran-Iraq war. Pursuant to the secret NSDD, the United States actively supported the Iraqi war effort by supplying the Iraqis with billions of dollars of credits, by providing U.S. military intelligence and advice to the Iraqis, and by closely monitoring third-country arms sales to Iraq. The CIA, including both CIA Director Casey and Deputy Director Robert Gates, knew of, approved of, and assisted in the sale of non-U.S. origin military weapons, ammunition, and vehicles to Iraq. In the same spirit, the State Department removed Iraq that year from its list of states that sponsored terrorism. 2 years later, in 1984, Donald Rumsfeld, a corporate executive at that time who was serving as a Reagan special envoy to the Middle East, met with Saddam Hussein in Baghdad to discuss areas of cooperation, including restoring diplomatic relations after a 17-year hiatus. That meeting, on 20 December, produced the video, later to become notorious, of Rumsfeld shaking Saddam's hand. Saddam was pleased that the U.S. wished to see further development in its relations with Iraq, including exchange of ambassadors, a secret State Department summary noted. Iraq valued this positive appreciation by the U.S. of the need for a high level of relations. Israel, which had been selling arms to the Iranians, also offered at that time to assist Iraq. "I do not remember even one discussion about the ethics of the matter," an Israeli Defense Ministry official told the Israeli journalist Ronan Bergman about the sales to Iran. "All that interested us was to sell more and more Israeli weapons and let them kill each other with them." Teicher, the NSC staff person, testified that he attended the meeting in Jerusalem at which the Israeli foreign minister, Yitzhak Shamir, briefed Rumsfeld on the offer, as well as the meeting in Baghdad when Rumsfeld passed the offer along to the Iraqi foreign minister, Tariq Aziz. "Aziz was horrified," Teicher recalled. "Aziz refused even to accept the Israelis' letter to Hussein offering assistance, because Aziz told us that he would be executed on the spot by Hussein if he did so." Despite the warming of U.S.-Iraq relations, both the United States and Israel were aware that Iraq was pursuing a program of nuclear development. Israel, at least, was following the Iraqi program with concern. Iraq had signed the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty as a non-nuclear state, thus committing itself not to develop nuclear weapons, but the U.S. and Israel suspected that it was cheating on its commitment. Iraq allowed the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, to inspect its nuclear facilities as its NPT commitment required. At that time, however, The treaty terms restricted IAEA inspections to facilities that the parties to the treaty had officially declared, nor was the IAEA authorized to conduct surprise inspections or to probe beyond official declarations. The United States might collect intelligence and bide its time. Israel was not prepared to depend on Iraq's honesty and goodwill. In 1981, striking from the air with 16 2,000-pound slick bombs selected and spin-balanced for accuracy, the Israeli Air Force destroyed a French-built 40-megawatt light-water reactor at Al-Tuwaitha, a large nuclear research complex 11 miles southeast of Baghdad on the Tigris River. The reactor had not yet been loaded with fuel. France had delivered the first of six fuel loads, however, 26 pounds, 11.8 kilograms, of uranium enriched to 93% U-235, highly enriched uranium, or HEU, about two-thirds of the amount needed to charge one first-generation atomic bomb, and that uranium survived the raid, undamaged in a bunker.